This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to start the program off today talking about Michigan State and about the high school playoff games going on today with Sam Hosey. Many of you know Sam Hosey as the chairman, and he's with us on our guest line, and he's going to talk some high school and college basketball. Sam, how you doing, my man?
Good, Earl. How's it going?
Okay, well, you know, it's going pretty good for you and I. Of course, it's not going too good for Michigan State. They lost a tough one last night. Were you surprised that they lost? I don't think I was.
Surprised that they lost. Not necessarily surprised, but I was surprised at the way that they played. Yeah. If I could put it that way, just because they just were just off track, and it just didn't seem, you know, they played tired. It looked more like the Michigan State team of the last two games of the season, you know, where you have Indiana on the road, and they didn't play well there. And then the home game after losing Brandon Dawson in the second half against Ohio State looked more like that version of Michigan State versus the one that we saw play in the Big Ten tournament that was full of energy, knocking down shots, and really just outplaying their opponent.
Yes, a lot of us were just waiting to see when that loss of Brandon Dawson would rear its head, and it certainly did in that game. I mean, they sort of played through it the other games, but that game, it was just such a tough going against Louisville.
It really was. You know, they didn't get any production from Adrian Payne and Derek Nix, and I think that was really key. Both kids just seemed off a little bit. Their post moves and things, shots just weren't going in, and they were way off early on. Nix had a few wide shots, and Green even. Draymond didn't shoot the ball as well as, obviously, we've seen him shoot the basketball. But that's where a kid like Brandon Dawson can help you on the offensive glass. Some of the garbage points that he can just get off of athleticism and effort. And Michigan State didn't get a lot of those effort-type baskets. And so that's why I think it really cost them in one of those ugly grind-them-out type games. You need to get some dirty points like that. And Michigan State really just did not get any of those.
Yes, I know we have to give credit to Louisville because they really did play a good game. And they, you know, they played a tough brand of defense, too. They're a defense team similar to what Michigan State is. So when you have two defensive teams like that, there was no way that they were going to get up there as far as getting points. And it certainly played out that way.
It did. Jang on the inside for Louisville really just controlled the paint. And obviously throughout the game, you could see him really take over more and more of that ball game. And he was in the heads of the Michigan State players after a while, I think. And so he really impacted Michigan State's ability to get points in the paint. And that had been their strength because Michigan State is a team that works its way inside out. When you can go to Adrian Payne and Derek Nix and Draymond Green, get some points in the basket, which loosens up the shooters like a Brandon Wood and like an Austin Thornton. Thornton got a good look early on right off the bat there, and he didn't really get many good looks after that. And when you're not getting production on the inside with a shot blocker like Jang, I think that really impacted Michigan State's ability to work inside out like they normally like to, and I think that was the ultimate difference.
Well, I know the game really turned for me when he hit that three-pointer, and, you know, he had never shot one. I said, uh-oh, we're in trouble today.
Yeah, that's exactly my response was like, ooh, when he kids like he and Jared Swapshire start knocking down three-pointers, it's like, oh, boy. Because Louisville came into the game barely shooting over 30% from three. So I was thinking, you know, Michigan State, and you could see even early on, they were really sagging inside. Mm-hmm. They were playing inside of the three-point line on defense, and that in itself lets you know how they revere or don't revere a team's ability to shoot the basketball. So they were sagging and really playing off the guys, and when one shot went in and then another, and then kids gained confidence, and that's when you just say to yourself, it's just not their night. And then some other things didn't go their way. Their offense wasn't clicking, and then the defense eventually just gave way, and that was all she wrote. I mean, it was, again, a great season for Michigan State, I think. But, yeah, last night, things just didn't come together like they expected them to.
Yes, because it was a very good season for the Spartans, and they'll come back next year and will be even stronger next year. They'll be young, still young, but they've got good recruits coming in. So that next year, the team actually, I was thinking, could be even better, the team next year, than they were this year.
In terms of maybe on paper talent, I think you have to go with that. You're going to replace, you're going to lose a Wood, you're going to lose a Thornton, and one of the great Spartans of all time, I think, in Draymond Green. But what makes those guys great is, their effort, their leadership, a lot of the intangibles, especially with Draymond Green and Austin Thornton. But you're bringing in kids who are highly regarded, and people will look at this being, this kid can make a difference. And, in a kid like Gary Harris, for instance, there's already whispers, how long is he going to be in East Lansing? And we've heard all that a number of times, Earl.
Yes.
But regardless, yeah. I think there's a chance for Michigan State to really do some things, but they're going to have to get some leadership. And I think we've seen the importance of that just from last season to this season. And they're going to have to make sure they find chemistry and everybody get a role, buy into it, and then just work as hard as they can. And I think that groundwork has been laid. I think everybody sort of understands what they can do, what they should do. And so now it's a matter of going out and doing it and getting those young kids acclimated. But, yeah, Michigan State should be fine. I think everybody there is pleased with the season that they had. Even last night, Tom Izzo, you didn't sense great disappointment in his comments and in the press conference. Just more of, I had a great time coaching this year's team and on and on. And you didn't get any of that last year. So there's no regret, I don't think, with this year's group. But next year, I think they can make some noise again, and they'll have some of the horses, so to speak, I think, to get it done.
Yes, well, let's talk a little bit about the preps. We've got the one game going on right now, Romulus going up against Rockford, and, of course, Saginaw is in the 250 game. Then tonight we'll have the Class B, Sexton and Country Day, and then Stevenson Lakeshore versus Muskegon Heights. So we've got some very good basketball. I always tell folks, if you haven't seen a lot of high school basketball, now's the time to go see it, because you're going to see the best of the best in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, you are. In Class A, I think Romulus has to be your favorite. In Class B, obviously Sexton, but Romulus has a number of D1 kids, they're really, I don't think at this point there's anybody to match with their talent. And Nate Oates, the coach, he's been doing it for quite some time now, and year after year, Romulus is always there, it seems like. And so I wouldn't expect anything different. And if they weren't to win the Class A title, I'd be mildly surprised, just because I think they have too much talent. They've played a tough schedule. He hasn't shied away from anybody. And I respect teams like Pershing, like Romulus, like Eastern, even Sexton, teams that aren't afraid to, lace them up against anybody. They all sort of take that Tom Izzo philosophy of playing anyone anywhere at any time. So I think Romulus is the team to beat. And then Class B, that was in a debate with somebody last night who says Lakeshore is going to beat Sexton in the Class B title game. So I said, okay, if you say so. Only because Lakeshore beat, I think, Kalamazoo Central handily, and they really beat up on a lot of people in the southwest part of the state. And so a lot of people from that area really think they could give Sexton a run. So that could be interesting if that ends up materializing, but we'll find out later tonight. But regardless, I think Sexton is your team to beat. Just too much talent, good coaching, and kids that are hungry and really want to leave a legacy. I mean, these kids are on the verge of becoming legends. And, we'll look back at, this, you can almost call it a dynasty for a high school program to, go to a state championship game 3 years in a row and maybe win 2 out of 3. So they're on the verge, I think, of doing something that we haven't seen, Earl, in these parts in decades. And so I think for that reason alone, these kids, they'll do enough to get over the top.
Well, they're going to have a tough matchup tonight, Sam, because they got Country Day, and this will be their third time meeting them. And Country Day, as you know, won it in 2010, and they're back again for another shot. How does Country Day, if Country Day can win this game, how do they beat Sexton?
That's the funny thing. How does anybody beat Sexton? I was at the Pershing game when they beat Sexton. I still don't know how Pershing won that game. I mean, other than Sexton missed some free throws, maybe aired it out and slowed it down a little bit too soon. But if Sexton keeps things humming and running, you'll have to catch them on a bad night, and really just try to get in those kids' heads, honestly, Earl. I mean, even if Denzel has an off night, there are too many other good players, it seems like, that will pick things up for him. And Sexton isn't unbeatable, but they're pretty good. And because of it, I really don't know how you beat them. They've got size, they've got guards, they've got a couple shooters. There really aren't any glaring weaknesses with this group. And because of it, it's really almost hard to put your finger on how does this team get beat. And you would just have to catch them on an off-shooting night and maybe some foul trouble, that kind of thing. And then obviously you yourself have to shoot well, rebound well, and those kinds of things to do the little things, is make your free throws that I think could give another team a chance.
Yes, they've always been a good shooting team. That's what's amazed me about them this year. They've consistently shot the ball well. Now, we know the lighting's a little bit different in Breslin, so it might hurt them, but I know most of the guys have played in Breslin plenty of times before, so that shouldn't really hurt them that much, but maybe it might take them a little time to get used and adjust to the lighting.
Yeah, that could be an issue, but as you mentioned, they've been to Breslin, a lot of the guys, for a number of times. I'm surprised they don't have their own locker room by now, but, I mean, they've been there and done that, so to speak, so I would think that they would be fine with that. And even the kids, you look over behind, at the Michigan State games, a lot of the kids are there at the games, not just Denzel, but you'll see Bryn Forbes over there, or Anthony Clemens, or Jalen Hayes, all the kids are always over there. So, I mean, they're familiar with it, and it's a second home, I would think, to a lot of those kids.
Yes. Hey, we got to give a little congratulations to Frederick Edmonds and Chris Harrison Docks, both named first team All-State to Class A All-State. So congratulations to them, too. We really had some good play and good players here in the Mid-Michigan area this year, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. I mean, Frederick Edmonds, we call him Boo Man. I mean, what can you say? Kid came out of nowhere. You know, he was one of those playground legends that you heard about playing at the Y and different places. And, you know, he was able to get on track a little bit academically and get in school and get some things done. And, you know, 25 points, 14 rebounds a game. I mean, those are amazing numbers. And I really enjoyed watching that kid play. Great effort. And so it was really, really fine to see a kid sort of that seemed like all the odds were against them, Earl, to really persevere and get through and get through high school, and hopefully he can catch on either at prep school or junior college and really take off a little bit, as far as his academic and athletic career goes. And Chris Harrison Docks, what do you say about the run that Oakham is put together? I mean, you really have to tip your hat to Dan Stoltz. I mean, I'm really happy for him. And I'll be interested even to see if he returns next year. But he could ride off into the sunset. But Chris Harrison Docks, you know, he's that kid that's always been around that we've been talking about, and happy for him and the season that they were able to put together, in particular the postseason. But he's always been that player that we've always sort of talked about. You know, any given night that kid could go off on you, and more often than not he did that. So both are well-deserving. And then there are a couple of honorable mentions. I think Tracy Edmonds at East Lansing was one of them. A lot of great basketball in the area, and credit to all the coaches and the players in this area that make it thrilling for, hoop heads and junkies like me and you to hang out and be able to catch great basketball just about any gym we step foot into.
Yes, we did. Hey, Sam, I want to thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure having you on, my friend, and talking hoops with you. I know we'll be talking a lot more as we get as summer gets up on us. Boy, the time just flies by so quickly, but we'll try to do it again real soon, buddy.
Yeah, we'll see you in some smelly gym somewhere, Earl, soon.
Well, I know I'll see you in Breslin tonight because we'll both be there watching Sexton today.
Yeah, it doesn't stink in there, but some of these other places.
Okay, buddy. Hey, good talking to you. Okay, bye-bye. And that's Sam Hosey talking basketball with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We've got Jacob Bodner in with us today. And, Jacob, what's the score there now between Romulus and Rockford?
Score update, 17-15 is the score right now. Just started the second quarter. It was 17-10, probably with about under a minute left. Rockford made about a 5-0 run there at the end of the first to cut it to 2.
Okay. 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Will Americans ever fill up at the plug instead of the pump? I'm Ira Flatow. On the next Science Friday, we'll look at the drive toward electric cars. What roadblocks lie ahead? Plus, romance, comedy, and science hit the big screen in a new movie, Losing Control. We'll chat with the director. That's all on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday coming up on Talk of the Nation right here at AM 870 at 2 o'clock right here on WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl with a look at the weather. Good afternoon. Rain and scattered thunderstorms with a high of 72 degrees today. Rain is likely tonight as well with a low of 55. It'll be mostly cloudy with a chance of rain on Saturday, the high 68. Partly sunny Sunday with a high of 65.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR East Lansing. We come your way each and every day, Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock. If you've never called us before, take out the time, become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, talk sports right here on AM 870. Now we're going to turn our attention and talk a little football. We've got our good friend Michael here on, and we'll look a little bit at, Drew Stanton, who's trying to get out of his contract with the New York Jets, trying to go somewhere else, and we'll talk with him. And we also want to get Mike's thoughts on this whole bounty situation with the New Orleans Saints. Let's bring in our guest, Mike O'Hara. Mike, how you doing, my man?
Well, I'm doing okay, Earl. Right now I'm being a little bit of a couch potato, which I guess in East Lansing last night would have made me an endangered species.
Yeah, a lot of couch potatoes last night. Unfortunately, the Spartans couldn't get it done.
Well, you know what? That's not what we're talking about. But look, they had a good year. I think
they did.
I think they overachieved, to be honest with you. And just last night, they couldn't match up with what Louisville had.
Yeah, I think that injury to Dawson really caught up with them last night.
Absolutely, because you start going down your roster. You lose a player, then you got to play somebody else. You replace him with somebody, then it shuffles your roster down further. So they'll be back, though. Time is those teams are always back.
Oh, that's for sure. Hey, what about our man, our former Spartan, Drew Stanton? He went to New York thinking he was going to be the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And now he's looking to get out of that contract. Have you heard anything yet?
Well, not yet, And I wouldn't be surprised if for some reason they let him out, but if I were advising Drew Stanton, if I were his agent, Mike McCartney, I'd make sure that you have a landing spot before you go.
Yeah.
In other words, you don't want to be without a contract. And I'll be honest, if it wasn't Drew Stanton, I mean, I wouldn't really care that much. But since it's him, he's been such a good soldier here in Detroit for the 5 years he was with the Detroit Lions. I could see his side of it. But did the Jets say, we're going to sign you to be the backup to Mark Sanchez? Or do they sign you to say you're going to be a backup? I'm trying to look at it from both sides. The end result is, teams do things to make themselves better, and I can't fault the Jets from that standpoint. But I think that in this case, Stanton got done a little bit dirty, and I don't like it.
Yeah, because we thought, like you say, we've known him for a long time. He's a stand-up guy, and really, I think the Jets maybe misled him somewhat, letting him know that he was going to be a backup, and then they bring in Tebow at the last minute and give him the backup job, he thought he was going to a situation where he really wouldn't have to compete to be a backup, and now he's in a situation where he'll have to compete, and he might not have a chance to get to be the backup.
Right, and the other thing is, I don't know if all the listeners out there understand the life of a backup quarterback in a National Football League, and if it's exemplified by anybody, it's Drew Stanton. Last year, as the number two quarterback, you get some reps in practice with the number one offense. Not many, but when they usually happen, it'd be like when Matthew Stafford last year had the finger problem and the ankle problem. Sean Hill ran the offense a couple of days each week, as I recall. But if you're the third quarterback, you get no reps with the offense. You never run your team's offense. Never. When I say never, I mean N-E-V-E-R, unless there's injuries to the top two guys, and then you move up. So really, for Drew Stanton in terms of development, last year is almost a lost season for him, except in terms of getting paid. And then now going to the Jets for another year as a number three quarterback, if he gets any reps with their offense during the season, they're going to be minimal at best. So I can understand why he'd be ticked, because he has no chance now to develop further and elevate his career.
Yes, and Mike, I think I can say that the best job in the NFL, be a backup quarterback.
But I wouldn't mind being a starter, though, for $15 million.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's not bad.
No, it's not good. The other thing is, and it shows you the pecking order of the National Football League. If you have a quarterback that you think is your guy, and obviously, and I think the Jets have really acted like, you know, with Sanchez, like he's their guy, you get the big money to the starter, and then the next guy gets dribs. And you know, Sanchez at $14 or $15 million a year, and Drew Stanton at $1.25 million. Now, it's good money, but it's not starter money. But it's, you know, the starter's making 13 times more than the backup.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike, hey, were you surprised at all by anything you heard coming out of the New Orleans Saints and all the hits and the legal hits and that stuff they had? Were you surprised that the sanction were that hard?
The only thing I was surprised was the lengthy suspension, one-year suspension for Sean Payton. I thought Gary Williams would get at least a year. I thought the franchise would lose a couple of draft picks because they didn't have a first-round pick. So if they'd had a first-round pick this year, they probably would have lost like a first this year and a fourth next year. You know, they'd balance it out with that, you know, with that draft value chart. Since they didn't, they lost two twos, which might be more damaging than losing a first and a fourth. That didn't surprise me. I wasn't surprised at the fine. I wasn't surprised at the general manager getting suspended for a half a season. But the head coach, Sean Payton, getting whacked for a year, that surprised me. But, you know, but when you think about it, I don't think it's unwarranted, but I didn't expect that to happen.
Yes, I was a little bit surprised. Not totally surprised, but I was a little bit surprised that Greg Williams got an indefinite suspension. I expect that'll probably be at least a year, maybe longer. And, you know, it's hard to say, will he get another job or will he get hired back because of this? His career might be over as far as coaching the pros.
Well, it could. He's had more than 20 years in the National Football League and some really, you know, good jobs on high-profile teams, too. He was a head coach in Buffalo, you know, and the, you know, owner Ralph Wilson here from the Detroit area, where they treat their people great. He was at the Redskins as an assistant head coach, defensive coordinator. Then he had a good run, you know, down there in New Orleans. So he's been around, and he's been highly regarded, but you know, this is tough right now. I mean, if he's back in the league next year, and I think he will be, I think it'll be an indefinite suspension and reinstated sometime next year. Now, depends on when he's reinstated. I mean, the hiring season's like in January and February for assistant coaches. You know, if they keep him hanging until May 1st when everybody's staff is set, and they go, well, okay, Greg, your indefinite suspension's over. He's going to be somebody's quality control coach or position coach. So I'd be surprised if he gets in as a coordinator next year, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's back in the league in some capacity.
Yes, when you look at that suspension from New Orleans, you know, how do you say, look at that from the standpoint that, yes, they got it, yes, it was deserved. Do you think that it's more than, you know, you hear people always say, well, it goes on all the time. Even a few players say it goes on all the time around the league. I know Commissioner Goodell is trying to put a stop to this kind of thing, but do you think it goes on as much as they said and much as has been rumored to be about?
No, not at that level. It's like this, okay? You're driving down the freeway, you're doing 80 miles an hour, okay? 50 cars go by every 2 minutes. Another car is doing 90. He's the one who gets pulled over.
Yes.
I mean, there are limits, and that's and the New Orleans Saints clearly exceeded the limits with an orchestrated and monitored bounty program. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that maybe 28 or 16 or 19 or whatever number you want to pick teams have players who have some sort of almost like an office pool every week on the biggest hit or getting an interception or something like that. Or each guy in a position group, defensive backs, wide receiver with a great catch, something like that. And you know, they hand it out once a week, but it's done by the position group. But this is beyond that, way beyond that. You're talking about knockouts and limp-offs and card-offs and all that. completely different.
Yes, and we know
no mercy from me on this one. Absolutely yeah. None.
Yeah, I don't think that. Yeah, they should get any mercy. It's something that you know. I took my hat off to the commissioner because he's trying to make the game safer, and I think we've all seen that, especially over the years. I know you and I have been around from games in the 50s and the 60s and seen the evolution of the game, and thank goodness it's getting safer and a lot safer for the players, and I'm really glad for that.
Earl, that's a good point by you, and things evolve. For example, you can't start treating a new disease until you find out what it is. In other words, there's an evolution of things at every level, and there's awareness and long-term effects of concussions and repeated concussions. I remember standing on the sideline near the end of a game. This has got to be, maybe 1978, 1979, and some player got, dinged, as they say, and I asked the team doctor who was standing next to me what happened. And he said, he got his bell rung. Like, I was a complete idiot for asking, and it was no big deal. Now, that person hasn't been with the Lions for 30 years, and I don't even know what happened to him. He wasn't being unprofessional. It was just, in that day, it wasn't considered such a big deal. I don't mean that the teams were completely callous in regard to the players or anything like that. It was just sort of the warrior mentality of pro football. He got his bell rung. Well, okay. Now it's a completely and well-deserved, well-intentioned emphasis on the on what can happen to a player when you get these repeated concussions.
Yes, we heard that saying. I've been hearing that in college for a long time. He's just dinged up, or
right.
He'll be back, and that's become such an anthem in college and in professional ball. And it's good that they're finally really taking it seriously and trying to look at it further at helping the players and help them stay healthy for most of the time.
Well, for example, this is different because it's not the head, but. Jack Youngblood, the great Los Angeles Ram Hall of Fame defensive lineman, once played on a broken leg. And that was just sort of the lore of the National Football League. He played on a broken leg.
Yes.
It's sort of like the way people used to treat DUIs years ago. I remember it was Billy Kilmer got pulled over for drunk driving and played on Sunday and had a big game. I remember Pat Summerall said something to the effect, kind of summing up the game. Whatever's in that brown bottle, they ought to give everybody a little taste of it. Well, that was then. This is
yeah.
now.
It
I'm
is.
Not faulting Pat Summerall. It's just times change, emphasis changes, education changes.
It has, and it's for the better. Thank goodness it's for the better because we're seeing now players will get and that's the thing, too. Some players still want to play, which is understandable. They love the game and love to play, but they still want to play even after they've had a concussion. They want to get back out there again, or they'll try to cover it up.
Well, 5-6 years, it was – probably long enough, 10, 12 years ago, Brett Favre went back and they came in Green Bay, grabbed his helmet and ran back in after a concussion, or what was thought to be a concussion anyway, with Brett. And I love the guy. It's kind of hard to tell how many times he's been hit in the head. But anyway, went back in. It became sort of a big story, but not a real story. Nobody really faulted the Packers at that time.
Well, we definitely have to take our hats off to Goodell because he's doing the right thing and trying to make the game safer for all the players. And I think he's sending that message he sent to the Saints. I think that's going to go all throughout the league. Don't you think, Mike?
Absolutely.
It'll get everybody to get the
message. People keep saying the National Football League is a copycat league. I mean, I don't really believe that, but it's a good saying. But in this case, it may not be a copycat league, but the cats are going to copy what the NFL has done.
Oh, yeah. Hey, now what about, we've got the draft coming up the end of next month. What do you think the Lions are going to do with that pick number 23?
Well, I don't know, and they don't know either because there's so many variables there. But just a couple of things that I think you can count on. Martin Mayhew, number one, is not going to deviate from their draft board. In other words, let's just say they want, an offensive tackle, okay? And I'm not saying they do. And all the good ones are gone. He's not going to draft an offensive tackle just because they want one. He's going to take what's best on the board. And when you do that, sometimes you get a good young player like Nick Fairley, if that's not really what you were looking for or expecting. And he does that. Martin's done that from day one. He's run three drafts like that, and he'll run his fourth draft in every draft as long as he's in Detroit, just like that. But I think, just starting out, I would think a cornerback, linebacker would be a priority. It's not a very good year for linebackers, though. So you know, if they're going to get a linebacker, I think it's going to be down the, you know, down the road. They're not going to just take one to take one. But I think the cornerback's a real strong possibility. I think an offensive lineman for depth, not just depth, but, you know, with the intention of grooming him to eventually place Jeff Backus or even Gazdar Chiriles or, you know, whatever way they go. Somebody like Cordy Glenn, I think, out of Georgia, 6'5", 340 pounds, and very athletic, you know, might fit in there. Or DeCastro, from Stanford, a good offensive lineman might fall to that category. And never count out the defensive line. You know, and we're talking, I'm talking about the first pick now. I never count that out with the Lions because they, you know, they had, you know, they invest an awful lot of resources in their front four. They want to maintain that as the strength of that defense, and I think that's not a bad idea. And then down the road, a running back somewhere, you know, I don't know, but somewhere, once again, not a great year for running backs. I wouldn't be surprised if sixth, seventh round, a young quarterback, just as a number three quarterback, if they haven't signed one, you know, by the middle of April or by draft day. And then just best athlete available, any position, you know, after the second round.
Yeah, that's going to be the test of getting that best athlete available. They, you know, the linemen, they've done well in linemen. I mean, there are so many. Linemen are getting quicker and quicker.
Yep.
Do you see them maybe starting, maybe some of the linemen might try to lose a little weight, come in a little smaller, and they can be a little more quicker, a little more flexible, because they are pretty quick these days.
Well, I think they're in pretty good shape in that regard anyway, though. You know, you look at Cliff Averill's, what, 255, 265, somewhere in that range. You know, Kyle VandenBosch on the other side, Willie Young, you know, an angular, you know, very, very fit but stringy, you know, defensive end, I should say. I don't think Nick Fairley's necessarily, he's big, but I mean, I don't think he's a pachyderm by any stretch of the imagination. So I think they're okay in that regard. You know, just I was thinking about this the other day, and maybe you can answer this. Suppose DeAndre Levy, you know, starting linebacker for 3 years going on four, had been drafted on the first round instead of the third. Would that have been a good draft pick?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. So when you really think about it, would Louis Delmas been a good low first round pick?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what the important thing is that you get good players wherever you can get them. And Martin May, who's gotten players from a lot of different ways. Here's what I would keep an eye on, okay? Mm-hmm. Right up to the draft and into the middle of training camp, trades.
Yes.
Trades, you know, giving away low-round draft picks for young veterans who still have tread on the tire. And I'll give you examples. Well, Sean Hill wasn't young, but he was acquired from San Francisco for a sixth or seventh-round draft pick. Tony Scheffler, trade from Denver. Rob Sims, trade with Seattle Seahawks. Corey Williams, trade with the Cleveland Browns. All of those guys were good players for the Lions, and they still got time, you know, still got tread on the tire. Alphonso Williams really didn't pan out, but, you know, he had a bit of a flash in his first year here, but really not, you know, more of a liability than an asset, but just got it for a low-level trade, you know, a tight end who eventually got cut by the Denver Broncos. But watch him do that. And then watch him manipulate for, you know, more, you know, for either to move up or to add picks the way he did before the draft, you know, 4 years ago when he traded away Roy Williams to get another first-round pick and ended up with Brandon Pettigrew, you know, a Pro Bowl-caliber tight end. Mikel LeSure last year, Javid Best 2 years ago. He's always looking to move into a spot where they can get either, you know, more picks or more quality or young veterans. So nobody should rest easy when you're projecting what the Lions are going to do.
Yes. Now, Mike, they just redid Calvin Johnson's contract.
Yep.
Do you think they probably have to redo it again in a couple of years to try to get them underneath the cap again? I mean, he's got the richest contract in the National Football League. I can sort of see them doing it again to get more players underneath the cap.
Well, you know what? Yeah, you know, really, what it is, it's sort of like refinancing when you think about it. You know, but with a bubble payment at the end, you just try to get the bubble to the point where it doesn't explode on you. I mean, one thing people have to realize is that the players don't lose any money on these deals. The restructuring and all that, really, most of the time it benefits them in terms of cash flow. They get their money sooner now. In Calvin's case, it's different because he added 7 years to his contract. But, you know, but Matthew Stafford and Nate Burleson and Ndamukong Suh all restructured. But instead of getting their salary spread over a period of time, they get, you know, readjusted and get a lump, you know, in terms of a signing bonus, they get it up front. So as Troy Aikman once said about this kind of stuff, players aren't Santa Claus. They're not just giving away money. But I think with you know, they've got some big negotiations coming up in the next 3 years, one with Stafford, one with Sue. And I wouldn't be surprised right after that, you know, the middle of his extension, if Calvin Johnson isn't in line to redo his deal.
Yeah.
But always at the benefit of the player. And also, I should mention one thing, Cliff Avril, too. That's the last, that's the high-hanging fruit, not the low-hanging fruit right there.
Okay, Mike, I want to thank you for being with me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. We'll probably get together and talk right around the draft time, and maybe some of that information will sneak out or creep out about what they're going to do during the draft.
All right, I'm sitting here guarding the couch.
Sounds good, because I do the same thing, buddy.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being with all me, right. Mike. Okay, bye-bye. And that's Mike O'Hara from Now with Fox Sports Report, foxsports.com, that is. The time, 41 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Could you explain what a flame is to an 11-year-old? That's what Alan Alda is asking scientists to do with his flame challenge. I'm Ira Flatow. Alda joins us on Science Friday as we talk science communication. Plus, an archaeologist tells us what she's dug up in Iraq. It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday coming up on Talk of the Nation at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The forecast is calling for rain with scattered thunderstorms today. Our high, 72 degrees. Rain is likely overnight, the low in the mid-50s. Saturday, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain with a high of 68. Partly sunny on Sunday, the high, 65 degrees. I'm Scott Pohl.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. It's 43 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. And what's the score right now, Jacob? I know it's, what, at halftime still?
Yep, game just went into halftime. Should be out of halftime here in a few minutes. It's all tied up 27-27. And so it's a really close game. Rockford was down as much as, I think, 10. Came back and tied it up going into the break.
Well, these four teams here that will be battling for the Class A to play in the championship game, they're all good. They've got four good teams, and they're playing right now in Breslin Arena. It's at Romulus right now playing in this first game, playing Rockford. So I've seen Rockford a lot this year, seen them. They play very tough. They took out East Lansing, Okemos, and took them out of the playoffs. But, yes, we're down to the final four teams. Right now, let's go to Ray from Fort Wayne. Ray, how you doing?
Oh, how you doing, buddy?
Okay.
Boy, that was brutal to watch last night.
It was.
44 points. That's about what you should get in the first half.
Yep. They just couldn't throw it in the ocean last night.
Yeah, those things happen. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin put up a good fight. But
they did.
Boy, I don't know, Indiana, I don't think they're going to go down tonight with Kentucky, so that's only going to leave one team in the Big Ten tournament. Ohio State look pretty good, though.
Yes, they are. They could win it all. They could. They certainly got the potential.
Yeah, you just never know. It's really a team how you get a hot. You know, it's just like the Fab Five. Remember, they never won any Big Ten titles, and then they get in the tournament and get hot.
Yep, it can happen for anybody. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's like football, baseball, any of them, really, Earl.
Yep.
You get down to it, all of them are like that, you know?
Yeah.
You can be great all year. If you don't play right in the playoffs, you're out of there.
Well, that's for sure.
But you remember after Michigan beat Virginia Tech, David Brandon said Michigan was back.
Yeah.
You know, that guy's quite a fibber. I don't believe they're back yet, do you?
Well, it depends on everybody's definition of what you mean is back.
Right. Who's back?
But they had a good year, so I mean
let's put it this way, Earl. They got to play Alabama at Dallas next year.
Yes, that'll be a good opener for them. A good test.
They're going to get hammered, and then they play at Notre Dame, at Nebraska, at Ohio State. We'll see after the end of next year if they're really back. I don't think that guy, of course, he's going to put on a good spin because he's an athletic director and he likes to lie to people.
Of course. Well, you know, ADs always talk good about their team, which they're supposed to do. They're supposed to hype up their team, which is expected for them to do. But you know, Michigan's going to be they're a good team, and they're going to be good again, and they are good this year, and they're going to be good next year. I mean, they're good. They're going to be good in football and basketball. That's the two sports they really emphasize, is football and basketball. So I expect to see Michigan back on top or near the top in football and basketball. Again, the time 45 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock, and I'll be over to the Class B games tonight. At 6 o'clock, you'll have Sexton and Country Day, and then you'll have also Stevenson Lakeshore and Muskegon Heights. Those games will be at 6 and 8. So those two games will be at tonight in the Class B semifinals for tonight, and then you can go over and see the Class B, A, C, and D finals all in Breslin Arena tomorrow, right here or right there, and check them out. That's going to be some really good basketball tomorrow. For all of you who love the sport of basketball, you get a chance to see some of the best players in the state of Michigan. Some of those players going to colleges, some of them going to Michigan State, some going to Michigan, but all the players are, you know, they're very good high school players, and then we get to see if they develop more at the college level. I know a lot of people, you think that they'll go in right away in college and just should walk on and start right away. And it doesn't often happen that way. There's a lot to learn when you go up from one level, from the adjustments to make from high school to college, and just like the adjustments from high school, from college to pro. It's so difficult. It's always adjusting. So you get a chance to adjust as you go on the upward cycle in sports and when you're an individual. Well, Jacob, what did you think of the game last night? We haven't had a chance to talk about it, but what happened? What did you see in that Spartan game?
I mean, that's just, you know, they just played about as bad as you possibly could play. And when you only, you know, when you have more turnovers than you have field goals, 14 field goals and 15 turnovers, and when the vast majority of those field goals came from two guys, Draymond Green and Brandon Wood, and Wood had a little spurt there in the middle of the second half where he had about 8 straight points and was really the only hope Michigan State had for a little while there winning that game. I mean, you're going to lose, especially when you're this deep into the tournament. You know, we've talked about it before. Every game is tough from here on out, and when you play what Tom Izzo described as the worst game of basketball they've played all season, you can't expect to win. So, just, you know, things sometimes just don't click, and sometimes the balls don't go through the hoop, and sometimes, you know, that's just the game of basketball. So it was a rough loss for them, but it's not that, you know, they lost to a really good Louisville team. Louisville's peaking at the right time. They made a run to win the Big East tournament. They're playing very good ball right now, playing really good defense. And, you know, and I think people sometimes forget, you know, Louisville, they press and put pressure almost every time you bring the ball up the court for the most part. And that wears you out because usually you have, you know, you got to go up half the court and you just mosey on up half the court. You don't even bother with it. When you get guarded and when you get defensive pressure and you have to go, that half of the court with full defensive pressure, that takes a lot out of you. That can tire you out a lot quicker. And so I think that had a lot to do with it. And it was just really good defense by Louisville.
It was. Louisville played an excellent defensive game, that's for sure. Now, we just came across the wire here reading. It looks like Duke is guard Austin Rivers is going to make it known whether he'll be make himself eligible for the draft next week, and which is a surprise. So Austin Rivers will make his his feelings known on whether he wants to apply early for the NBA draft. Trey Burke is doing the same thing, looking into whether he should go in the draft this year. So he'll do that. I mean, yeah, these freshmen, if they have a good year, they certainly look to go to the next level. And I guess you can't fault them for that. Guys want to go in the league, the pay-for-play league, and make a little money since they don't get that much from college. They get some, but they don't get that much as far as a scholarship and such. So I'm very understanding about guys going if they have a chance to go to the next level, hopefully if they're ready. We see a lot of guys go and want to get to the draft, get to the league, even though they're not ready. But you better be ready. That's the thing. You better be ready when you apply for the draft, or you'll end up playing overseas somewhere like that. Well, we're talking about the Romulus Rockford game. It was a tied up, and I'll tell you, it looks like that's going to be a very good game. We'll probably come down to the end, 27-27, all tied up. And I know that the game will be starting up pretty soon, and we'll probably get a chance to get one more score before we
second half has already started.
Okay.
So actually, Rockford came out, hit a three early on in the second half, was up 30-27, and now Romulus went on a little bit of a run, and by a little bit of a run, I mean 11-3 run.
Wow.
And so now it's 38-33 Romulus in probably the middle of the third now.
Wow, well, that's a little run. So we'll have to keep our eye on that, and we'll get as much to you as we can before we get off the air at 2 o'clock. It's certainly going to be a good game. Well, we saw some of the our man from the Clippers. He got hurt last night as he got touched up, and he should be okay. Blake Griffin, he got swiped, and he was hurt the other night, but it looks like he's going to be okay. He was shaken up a little bit, and the caller, he was given a flagrant foul, a flagrant two, as they call it. He was automatically ejected from the game. You see that. A lot of people made a big deal out of it. Some people say, well, it wasn't that big of a deal. It's he was hit, but he wasn't really hit hard, but he was just hit. But I know that they make a big deal out of that. Hey, give us a call. The time right now is 8 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock, right here on AM 870 WKAR. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Remember, you can also check me out Sunday with Tim Stout on the Sunday Stout on Sports on Channel 10, and that comes up at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. So check Tim and I out this Sunday at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning on the Sunday Stout on Sports. You can do that with us. So we'll see you on the Sunday Stout on Sports show. You can always give us a call right here on WKAR, and we'll also try to spread the word around to everyone you know. You can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we come your way each and every day, and we'll be looking at more basketball games tonight as, a lot more basketball coming on, and we'll find out what's going to be in store, Kentucky and Indiana. I don't know if Indiana can win that second game in a row. They beat Kentucky in the first game at the beginning of the season. They hit a lot of great shots in that first game. I don't know if they can shoot that well again if they have them again. So that'll be tough. Right now, let's go over to DeWitt and check in with Jim. Jim, how you doing?
Hey, Earl.
Howdy.
What can you tell me about the team that the MSU hockey team's playing at 3 this afternoon?
Oh, yeah, 3 o'clock, yes. And matter of fact, the baseball team is playing as well. They're both playing at 3 o'clock. The baseball team against Oakland and the hockey team against New York, in New York, Union, New York. So they're one of the strongest teams in the country. And they're one of those teams like Fair State and other teams. They're a little bit older. They've got players in their early 20s, or, 21, 22, 23 already. They're one of those teams that got guys when they finished playing in the juniors and in the minor leagues, and they got those guys. So they're a very good team. It's going to be a very tough matchup. They've got very good skating, and they've got a really tough goaltender. So it's going to be a tough game for them. At least that's what Tom Anastas told me already.
Huh?
Tom Anastas told me it's going to be a tough matchup for them.
Yeah. You think they have a chance then, the Spartans?
Well, of course they got a chance. Yeah, whenever you play, you got a chance. We just don't know how much of a chance, but they got a chance, that's for sure. If they, as he told me, if they can get out and get a goal or two early in the game, that really enhances their chances and gives them a great deal of confidence. So if they can score early, they can get something done.
Yeah, well, it'll be, my understanding is on ESPNU, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
And on the radio, I hope.
Yes. But,
well, I tell you, even though the Spartan men's team went down, we are all proud of this team, and course, Draymond Green, and he just got better with every game. And, of course, his big accomplishment of using past Greg Kelzer for Rose rebounds.
Yes, he had a great year. He had a great career. We can't even just limit it on a year. He had a great career. He's grown each and every year. He's gotten better as a player and as a person. He's going to graduate with his degree. He came to understand and appreciate his education. So, yes, Draymond Green was a tremendous leader, a tremendous player here at Michigan State.
Do you think there's a pretty good chance his number will be retired?
Yes, I think one day it will be retired for sure. I mean, he took them to two Final Fours, and, you know, they've been, went to the Sweet 16 this year. He's had a very good career over his 4 years, a tremendous leader, and that which we found. And I don't know if anybody can replace him next year. Somebody will be called a leader, but I don't think they'll be as good as Draymond Green. You have to put him up there with Magic and with Cleves. So he's right up there with them, and he's probably the next best leader since those two, and those two were a distance apart, and then him, leaders just don't, you can't make them, and you can't make someone a leader. So we'll see what happens for them next year. But someone will have to lead the team, and we'll see what player takes on that leadership role.
Right, absolutely. Well, thanks, Earl. Have a terrific weekend.
You too. Hey, thank you. Yep.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Yep. And yes, we know this guy. Jacob, you're going to go over and watch some of the high school sports with me? You're going to go over and watch some of these Class B and A games?
Tomorrow? It's funny you mentioned that. I was telling my roommate, I was like, we should go over and watch some of these games. Because I've been to, actually, I used to work the in-house video feed for the game. So I've been to a lot of these games, and they are very good. So, I might show up on tomorrow and watch some of the final games. We'll see. But we just had a caller wondering if the Sexton game could be a sellout at the Breslin Center. And I couldn't remember if they open up the upper deck for semifinal games. I don't think they do. Do they?
Yeah, they will. Okay. If they get enough people coming in, they'll open it up. But they might not at first. But, yeah, I can see them opening up for that because they're going to have a good crowd for that game, that's for sure.
Absolutely. If they get to the finals, which I think everybody seems to feel they will, we'll see if that's a sellout as well. But yeah, should be some good basketball. I might decide to come out. You never know.
Yeah, come on over there and check out some good basketball. We got, as you know, we got a lot of good players in the state of Michigan, and we're going to see a lot of them tonight and tomorrow. Just going to be some quality games. And I hope everyone comes out, and a lot of people who live in the area if you don't have much to do, come on over to Breslin Arena and watch some of those games. Well, give us another update on the score right now.
Well, Romulus is up 749-42 right now. Really a lot, just shooting a lot of threes in this game. That's kind of been the thing going on, but Romulus just missed a shot. Rockford with a chance to cut the lead down, but it seems Romulus, they had gotten a little bit of a lead, but I think they're having trouble extending it now. Rockford's sticking around.
Yeah, that's the thing. That three-point shot has become so valuable in high school ball. Teams and kids, they're always concentrating on shooting that three-point shot. They hardly shoot that mid-range shot. It's just about disappeared from the game. It's unfortunate, but it's now just about 3 points or a dunk or a layup. It's not much in between a three-point shot and a layup or a dunk. So that's what we have to look for. So I don't know. It's unfortunate, I think, because I'm a big fan of the mid-range game, but a lot of kids, they don't like that shoot, that mid-range shot. They just like that three-pointer.
We'll squeeze in one more update because Rockford was able to get an easy layup going in to the fourth now. So end of the third quarter, it is 49-44, Romulus.
Okay, thank you, Jacob, and giving us the updates. We want to thank you all for listening and thank you all for calling. We invite you to come back and join us again on Monday right here on AM 870 and join me tomorrow, Sunday, on the Sunday Style on Sports with Tim Stout at 11 o'clock on WILX-TV, Channel 10 in Lansing. Once again, thank you all for listening and thank you all for calling. We'll see you on Monday. You've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. So come back and join us on Monday, but we want to make sure that you have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening. And I'll hear from you on Monday at 105 right here on WKAR. We'll see you Monday. Have a very good evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.